Headlights emerge out of darkness. Wisps of mist drift across the beams. Two empty cars on rough ground. One has its driver's door open. In a supermarket, Vera wheels a trolley and stops to open a desserts and ice cream freezer. The feet and legs of someone in trousers as they're dragged across the rough ground. Vera's goods are put through the checkout. On the rough ground, the window of the open driver's door is shattered, leaving only jagged remains in the frame. In hiding at the rear of the red car, a young lad is crouching and breathing heavily. A man carrying a baseball bat.
Hide.
The boy runs.
Hide.
A woman lies on the ground. The boy races across an uneven field into a copse. Mist drifts through the night. The guy carrying the baseball bat and wearing a hoodie races after the boy. The boy reaches an old footbridge and runs along it. He trips and crashes into the handrail, which collapses. He falls off the bridge. Vera drives her Land Rover. She eats sweets as she drives. She sees a police car, its lights flashing beside the red car. The other car has gone.
Mom?
Shining her flashlight, she joins a young policeman.
What's going on?
I was on my way home. Blind chance is what it was.
They stare down.
I hope the guy has seen this bloody freezing.
Vera shines her torch on the woman's bruised face.
Your first time, is it, son?
Sorry, what did you say? Where are you going?
Vera goes to the passenger side of the red car and shines her flashlight inside. She then looks down and directs her beam onto footprints on the ground. She slowly follows the trail with her light, then sets off towards the field. Vera walks steadily along a trail made through tall grass. She enters the copse, then reaches the bridge. She follows the footprints across it. Vera notices the break in the handrail and shines her beam over the edge into the water. The water is clear and shallow. Vera moves along a little and looks over the edge again. The boy lies staring up from beneath the rushing water. Vera runs off the bridge and slip-slides down the bank to where the boy appears trapped by branches. Vera drags the boy out onto the bank. She lays the boy on his back, feels for a pulse in his neck, then starts to pump his chest. Vera gives him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, then starts to pump his chest again. Vera takes off her mac and puts it over the boy as he rallies. Edwards, the young policeman, stands on the bridge with his flashlight as Vera kneels beside the boy. She motions to Edwards.
Call an ambulance!
Vera slumps over the boy. He blinks. Brenda Blethyn. Vera. Photographs of the main characters superimposed over iconic images of Northumberland. David Leon. Day. Vera looks on as forensics officer Billy examines the woman's body on the rough ground.
Blow to the ribs,
Blow to the side of her face, blow to the skull, that's what did for her.
Yeah, I could murder a coffee.
Cover for the hero!
A tent has been set up around the scene.
What kind of blow?
And we found these on her.
Used syringes.
Okay, she was a user.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
What's that?
Well, I imagine it's some sort of bracelet pet.
What kind of blow?
Yeah, hang on, love, give us the ticket.
Joe enters.
Must have left it under the seat.
Vera stares down at the woman.
Mom.
She stirs and looks at Joe, who has her thermos.
I said you must have left it under the seat.
Oh.
She takes it.
Can you deal in the witness box?
Nah. It's early yet. Come on.
So where was he, the lad?
Under the water. Must have fell, I suppose.
She swigs from her thermos.
Killer chases him up there. Leaves him for dead. I was never much of a swimmer myself. Ulbugger never taught me. Girls learning to swim. Couldn't see the point.
They walk beside the river.
You didn't want to go on the ambulance with him then?
Why would I want to do that?
Just thought you might want to.
Carl.
I just got the debrief from the crime scene.
There's tyre tracks up ahead. Looks like the second vehicle ran her off the road into the verge.
A bag full of cash in the car.
How much do we know?
2,000 thereabouts. The killer's in a hurry.
Mom?
A suitcase in the boot.
Oh, go on, open this.
A forensics officer opens the case to reveal clothes. Vera searches through the items and finds 2 British passports. She takes them out and checks them.
Margaret Wilde. Son, Adam. I'll get these checked, make sure they're authentic.
Okay.
There are tickets in the case.
Going where? Malaga.
Very nice.
Outbound tickets only. I'm not coming back.
She's an addict, right? She's stolen the money, going off for a better life with a bairn. Fella in the other car, he's having none of it, chases her half the way to the airport. Why didn't he take the money? Panics maybe. Mom? Mom?
It's pointing the wrong way.
What?
The car.
Well, if you go to the airport, up the motorway, it takes you right there. She should have been going north that way. So where's the car pointing in the wrong direction?
A plane takes off. A small silver Fiesta is parked beside a wire perimeter fence of the airport. Inside the car, a swarthy man smokes a cigarette and weeps. His cheeks are soaked with tears. On the passenger seat beside him is an unopened bottle of fizzy wine in a cooler. The dark-haired man clenches his eyes shut. His body is racked with sobs. A silver Vauxhall hatchback enters a car wash. A woman stands beneath a shower. Eyes closed, she smooths back her long, wet hair. Wearing a silky dressing gown, the woman, Patricia Carmichael, goes to snuggle up beside her husband, Aidan, who lies in bed with his eyes closed. He smiles and strokes her damp hair.
Worse than the dog.
Thank you, sweetheart.
He opens his eyes.
Did you pick up the...
Carl? All done.
Good.
He clasps her hand and she buries her face in his shoulder.
Hey.
He strokes her hair and they look into each other's eyes.
I wish I was you.
Give it away, you'd soon get bored.
They smile and he kisses her.
Come on. Busy day.
Sort you up!
A teenage girl enters in school uniform.
Hypocrite.
Oh. Put the kettle on for your poor parents, would you?
Mum, you're late.
Am I?
She sits up and stares at Sorcha fondly.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Those are my tights.
No.
such as deadpan, then smiles.
Mine all dirty.
Well, stick him in a wash.
Not my job.
He gets up from beneath silk sheets. Adam is asleep in a hospital bed.
How long was he under the water? Do they know?
15 minutes, maybe more. Tim said it was a miracle you got him back.
Tim?
The doctor. Apparently it's because Adam's so small, his whole body went into some sort of dive reflex the moment his face hit the water.
Not really a miracle then, is it, love?
No.
Now get on the uniform. I want a 24-hour guard on him.
Holly looks at her sharply.
He was witness to a murder.
It won't take the killer long to find out that he survived. Oh, well, the quack seems happy, but they always do, don't they?
I'm sure he'll be okay.
How's the trial?
I'm still waiting. I think I'm getting bummed till tomorrow.
Right, but anyway, they're going to do a CT scan to be on the safe side. But they're thinking, you know, it's going to be fine, and I've just...
She slumps against a handrail. Bent double, Vera makes for a nearby seat and sits down. She removes her woolen scarf and puts the back of her hand to her forehead for a moment. An elderly woman wired up to a drip sits in her dressing gown, watching Vera from across the corridor. Vera looks shaken.
Come on! 8 officers you've had all day!
Passport!
Passport office confirms it's legit.
Thank you, Kenny. So, Margaret Wilde, born Southampton, 31 years old, murdered with brute force. Tire tracks. No? Well, what else? Address? Friends? Next of kin? Bank account? Housing benefit? Tax return?
No credit cards were found in her wallet. No bank account, as far as we can tell.
What about the car?
Plates are dodgy, most likely stolen. No insurance. Obviously.
Employment record? No, so she's skint. Apart from the wadge of cash we found in the car. Now, if you're skint, you sign on, don't you? Unless that's the point. Unless that's how she chose to live. Out of sight. No data. No footprint. Nothing to trace.
I call that paranoid.
Psychiatric ward. Anyone check?
Will do.
Vera turns and faces the incident board and narrows her eyes in thought. Desolate countryside. Vera's isolated stone house sits beneath fluffy white clouds. Her Land Rover is outside. Inside, Vera sits in an armchair with a blanket drawn up around her, staring at a stuffed kestrel on a perch. Vera removes the contents of a plastic carrier bag and puts the bag over the kestrel. She heads outside and dumps the bag in a wheelie bin.
Holly.
Where are you, Mum?
I'm at home.
The doctors have said we can talk to Adam Wilde.
In the police station...
He's still pretty fragile.
Hey, get us another coffee, would you, love?
But you know you need to have done the course, the one I did last summer, interviewing minors, or whatever Adam says is inadmissible.
Oh, Joe.
Well, Joe's at court and his certificate's out of date.
Oh, well, we'll just have to draft someone in.
Adam colours in a car he's just drawn. He sits with his chin on the table as he works. Holly and another woman watch him. Vera's in an observation room watching and switches on a microphone.
Tell him we're not giving out prizes.
Who's that?
Me and Mum.
In the car?
He nods.
And who's that?
Natasha.
Your friend?
My sister.
Where's she?
In heaven.
Vera blinks as she listens.
I'm sorry.
When did she pass away?
Before I was born.
He stares at his drawing as he works.
And your dad?
Still staring at his drawing, Adam shakes his head.
Okay. Do you remember what happened to to your mum.
Still staring down, he stops drawing for a moment, then starts again.
She's with your sister now, isn't she?
Don't say it for him.
What did he see?
Did you see how she... Did you see what they did to her?
He closes his eyes briefly, shakes his head, then draws.
Well, there's Hardy.
Behind the car.
He nods.
Did you get a look at them? Their faces?
He shakes his head as he continues to draw intently. Vera watches through the one-way glass as dark-haired Adam looks up briefly.
She was bleeding.
You're doing really well. So you ran?
He draws and nods.
And the man came after you?
He nods again.
It was definitely a man.
Adam shakes his head slightly as he stares at his drawing.
Did you see anything? Anything at all?
Birds.
Okay. What sort of birds?
Peacocks.
Peacocks.
Vera frowns and narrows her eyes.
One last question for you, Adam. Do you know whereabouts you live?
Adam shakes his head.
Would he know it if he saw it? Ask him. Would he know if he saw it?
Adam travels in the back of a saloon car which passes streets of red brick terraced houses in sunshine. Vera sits in the passenger seat while Joe drives, and Holly's in the back. The car heads down a shopping street, then past more terraced houses. Adam looks out at them. They pass a large, grim building, then shops. Vera looks back at Adam, then glances at Joe, who checks Adam in his rearview mirror. They drive down a dual carriageway, which is set between high red walls. Adam stares out of the window.
There.
He points to a large block of council flats overlooking the sea. Holly, Vera, Joe, and Adam climb steps to the huge block.
So, which one?
Adam leads them along an outside walkway about halfway up the block. Adam stops and looks unsure, then leads them back the way they came. They trudge back and forth along more walkways. Adam sits on a wall at the top of the steps, drinking a bottle of pop and staring out at the grey sea. The cops stand aside from him.
What do you make of Adam's statement?
Well, go on.
Well, it's just he talks about his mum's blood, but there wasn't much blood loss.
No.
And that about the birds,
the peacocks, yes?
Well, on the course, they told us that kids like to tell tales because of the attention or, you know, they tell you what they think you want to hear.
You think you made it up?
Basically. He saw his mother murdered. He has to shut out the trauma.
We should get him back to the hospital.
You think he made all this up, Noel? Adam, come on, we're going.
Why?
Well, it's my old legs, I can't keep up. Come on.
Hey, Adam!
A taxi driver. Adam smiles and runs to the man who's wearing a turban. They hug.
Where's Mama? Huh? We were neighbours.
And they were paying rent, were they, Mr. Singh?
I didn't ask.
And how long were they here?
A couple of months.
And where were they before, do you know?
They moved about a bit, I think. What will happen to him now?
Oh, this is the flat, is it?
Yeah.
Vera enters first.
Right. In you go, Adam. It's all right.
Right, I want forensics in here.
prints, fibres, any DNA you can pull off the database, including Mr. Singh here, if you don't mind, just to rule them out. Now, we'll be hanging on to these.
No problem.
She puts down the flat keys and picks up a photo of Margaret.
She was a pretty girl, Margaret.
Adam hangs back in the hallway.
Good neighbours, were you, Mr. Singh?
Adam helped me with my shopping.
Oh, good lad.
Adam lowers his eyes.
And last night you were...
I was working. I had an airport job down in Manchester.
That on your wrist?
That's an old Sikh tradition. The woman gives this rakhi to her brother. Margaret liked it. She wished to wear one also.
What does the brother do in return?
He promises to protect her. Over.
He looks away.
You're married, Mr. Singh?
Widower.
Vera scans about the sparsely furnished room.
And she was all right, was she, in herself?
She had a hard life.
And as a mother, it unstable.
Who are you or I to judge?
Insulin. Found it in the bathroom.
Oh, she wasn't that junkie. Diabetic.
A uniformed policeman talks to lads outside the flats. One lad wears a hoodie. A silver Toyota is parked nearby. Its driver appears to be looking over at the flats. Margaret's body lies on a metal mortuary slab which has draining holes in it. Billy in scrubs and apron.
Type 1 diabetes.
No.
She didn't exactly look after herself. Ulcerated feet, swollen joints, look. She buggered her nerve endings.
How about the head?
7 blows to the skull and torso. Severe cranial damage.
Much blood loss?
No, clean blows with a club. Possibly a baseball bat if he was a sports fan.
He?
Oh, could a woman do this? Well, yeah, it's possible. Oh, and number of odd fractures here. Left arm, collarbone, ribs, re-healed, but not very happily.
How old?
Hard to say. Minimum 2 years, but could be a lot more.
Joe.
Those airline tickets to Malaga, bought with a credit card by a Robert Salter. Yeah, he's from Darlington. Plus, he's got form. 18 months, possession of a firearm.
Joe's car drives past an industrial plant on the coast. Bobby Salter irons kids' clothes to music. A cigarette burns in an ashtray nearby. Bobby, the man in the car at the airport, sees Vera outside his caravan window. She drops her mobile from her ear and holds up her ID. He lets her in. Vera shows him a photo of dead Margaret with her eyes blackened and puffy. He shuffles and looks upset.
I wouldn't say I knew her.
You were sleeping with her, Mr. Salter?
Once or twice.
Wife, no?
She's a bit touchy about it, to be honest.
No, that's why she's got you sleeping in here, is it?
Suits me. Peace and quiet.
How'd you and Margaret meet?
Club.
When?
A couple of months back. I want a big thing, you know.
He puffs his cigarette.
And you last saw her?
Same day. She nicked my credit card.
What, 12 days ago?
Yeah.
She after you for money before?
Well, everyone's got a price tag, haven't they?
Monday, overnight, midnight to daybreak.
I was here. In here.
Well, out all night he was. Off in some huff. He took the car. He knows that I need it on a Monday for my Pilates.
Do you mind if I take a look?
All right.
Joe gets into the Fiesta, which is parked near the caravan, which is outside a house. 3 little girls of different ages appear.
What have you got yourself involved in this
time? I've done nothing. I've done nothing.
Yeah, story of your life. Story of your life.
Mum?
Jo hands Vera a piece of paper, which she studies.
Caution him, will you, love?
What's going on?
Petrol receipt. 4:30 a.m., only 8 miles from where Margaret Wilde was murdered. Jo?
Right. We've cautioned him. We've got 48 hours to make a formal charge. Now, Jo, talk to Salter's friends, associates. Anything to link him to Margaret in the days before she died. Gary, chase up the tire tracks from the crime scene. See if you can find a match to Salter's vehicle. Now, Margaret and the lad, I want history. I mean, it doesn't exactly sound local, so where were they before they came to Tyneside?
I can do that for you.
Oh, smitten already?
No, it's just something about that photo. Reminds me of the first wife. OK, laugh it up.
Polly, former addresses for Margaret and the lad. The school should help.
Oh, Adam says he's never been to school.
Social services looking the other way.
Adam did recall one previous address, Glanville Street.
Town?
Holly shrugs.
Struth. How many Glanville Streets must there be?
27. I looked it up.
Well, get community support onto it. Now, Margaret, living from hand to mouth, or hand to wallet. Now, what does a desperate woman do for money?
Street walk.
Oh, is that what the first wife called it? Joe! Clock!
Joe hurries away.
Mom.
What?
Adam's coming out of hospital.
So?
Well, he's meant to go into temporary foster care, but when they told him, he got very upset and he's refusing to go. And they wondered if you would have a word with him.
Me? Why me?
You're the one that fished him out.
He likes you. God help him.
She turns to the team.
What's so funny?
Jo runs up the steps to the Grand Court building. The judge is Patricia Carmichael.
Sergeant Ashworth. That's 8 minutes of court time we'll never get back. Let's hope you're worth the wait.
Joe's on the witness stand.
So, once you've got your breath back, the clerk will swear you in.
M'lady.
Night over the city. Vera's Land Rover drives along the dual carriageway between the high walls. Adam's with her. The city lights reflect on the car windows as Adam stares out. Vera looks across at him awkwardly a couple of times, then looks ahead and blinks. She pulls up. Adam glances at her uneasily.
Adam, I gather you've changed home quite a lot.
He nods.
Was there somebody in particular that you and your mum were, trying to get away from?
Yeah.
Who?
Shiny man.
Who's shiny man?
He's got this shiny face and shiny shoes and these pockets. And if you don't hide by the count of three, he puts you in his pockets and...
Oh, he sounds scary.
I suppose.
Adam stares ahead. Vera tentatively takes out a photo of Bobby and shows it to Adam.
This man. Ever see your mum with him?
Bobby.
Did he ever hurt your mum?
I don't know. Why would he do that?
Oh, she was just out and about with him, was she?
Some nights.
What, left you at home?
Yeah.
On your own? Weren't you scared?
No.
Well, what about your shiny man?
I just hid.
Adam lowers his eyes. Vera's expression is sad as she considers. Vera drives off. Later, she pulls up opposite a parked police car. A policeman inside it checks her arrival in his wing mirror. She gets out and waves to the cop as she goes round the front of her car to let Adam out.
Come on, out you get. Right. No, no, here's someone going to be keeping an eye on you. Nobody's going to hurt you. Okay, I promise. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
A foster home.
Come on, what's to be frightened of?
Jeremy, man, it's my beard.
No, it isn't.
And what the fuck? It's my turn.
Sam, get out of the way.
Jeremy,
shut
man,
up.
You said
shut
you
up.
Would.
One more minute. Fast. He's spoiling the game. No. Stop being so awkward about it. Just let him play the game, man. Sam, shut up. Let Lewis play.
Okay, you're making friends.
Tia, look.
What?
Mum, leave that lady.
You know what? Know this fella from the trial?
No. Her. Tia.
Tia? The judge. Your mum know the judge?
Yeah.
A sketch of Patricia on the TV news. Mr. Singh sits watching the TV report in darkness. He gets up abruptly, lifts the squab seat of a leather armchair, and takes a piece of paper out from under it. He hurries out of the room. Outside the flats, an electric light flickers. Singh comes out carrying a rubbish bag. He checks about him cautiously, then dumps the bag in a wheelie bin. As Singh heads back to the building, the lights of a car come on. Singh enters the building, leaving the door open. The silver car drives past slowly, its driver silhouetted.
Lipstick! Lipstick! Oh, you're not who you're meant to be.
Oh, DCI Vera Stanhope, Northumberland and City Police, m'lady. Oh,
please, Patricia, forgive me, but if I don't do this at least twice a day, I'll probably end up like one of my ancient forebears. Now, how did you just walk in?
Oh, light feet.
Now, if this is a sub judice matter, you know we simply don't make up the rules in order to break them.
Oh, no, I'm not here about the trial. Although I should declare an interest. My sergeant was the first officer on the scene for the gangland murder.
Lousy witness. Still, who cares? Don't know how you keep your hands off him.
Oh, I find it's more the other way around, to be honest.
Lady?
It's okay, she's family.
I won't keep you.
She shows her a blow-up of Margaret's passport photo.
She was murdered in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
And?
That way we want to find out more background on the victim, you know.
And what brings you to my door?
Well, her child is under the impression that you were acquainted with her.
Really?
Oh, middle of a muddle, I'm sure, but I just thought there must be so many people you make an impression on, all walks of life.
No, if I had a name.
Margaret Wilde.
I'll get somebody on to it.
I'll give you my card.
Oh, thank you.
As Patricia puts the card in her wallet, Vera spots a family photo in it of Patricia with Sorcha and Aidan.
Forgive me. Monday, overnight, you were...
Well, big trial, as you know, here at home. They keep a log at the car park. Now, how is that?
Oh, hang on. I'm a bit stuck. Your dangly bits are...
Poor kid.
Yeah, better.
How old?
11.
Social services doing everything they can?
Oh, keeping us busy, you know.
Well, if you want me to give them a well-aimed kick on his behalf.
I'm sorry, on whose behalf?
The child.
I said it was a boy, did I?
I'm sorry, I just assumed, I suppose. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I can see you're busy.
Welcome to my world.
Having adjusted Patricia's wig, Vera smiles and goes. In the foster home, Adam stands at his bedroom window, the long net curtain at his back. He looks down somberly at the police car. The duty officer gets out as the foster mother brings a cuppa out to him. Adam has a flashback to being huddled under a blanket with his mum.
Will you stop wriggling?
I'm cold.
No, you're not. What would I ever do without you, eh?
They exchange tender smiles in the darkness. In the foster home, Adam lies curled up on his bed facing Margaret. She smiles at him. Adam is alone on the bed. At the police station, Vera watches CCTV footage of Patricia walking across the court car park at night to a silver hatchback.
Publicity are chasing you about this photo op, you and the lad.
I know. I've told them I'm not playing.
Well, the local press are biting their hands off, apparently. I've been told to ask nicely.
Noted.
Who's that?
Her, that's your High Court judge. I've just paid her a visit.
Patricia Carmichael.
Leaving court 10 hours prior to time of death. Now, Adam reckons his mam knew her.
And?
Vera winces and feels her chest.
Well, I suppose 1/4 hour frozen to death. You're bound to be a bit confused.
Well, CT scan's giving him the all clear.
Mum, forensics have come through with the prints on the sports bag with the 2 grand.
Bobby Salter?
No, the next door neighbour, Amrit Singh.
Alibi.
Solid. Airport run to Manchester, I checked it myself.
OK, Hall, get over to the flats, talk to Singh. What does he know about the cash? Push him hard, but Salter's still our main man. Right? What?
Glanville Street, it's in Derby. Margaret was here 3 years back.
Day. Kenny's outside a council house when Vera and Joe arrive.
A neighbour remembered her face.
How long were they here?
Maybe 6 months, give or take. Squatting, mostly. It's all.
Joe enters the dilapidated house wearing forensic gloves.
What a place. Should tear the whole street down.
Vera scans about as she walks through the dingy rooms and into the kitchen where there's a messy pile of documents and an exercise book on a table. Also wearing forensic gloves, she picks up the maths exercise book, which has Adam's name on it, and studies the cover. She flicks through the book, which is full of times tables.
Oh, look at this.
Joe flicks through it. Some pieces of work have gold stars against them.
They're not bad.
Yeah, she did her best for him, I suppose.
They head into the living room, and Joe looks down at the bare wooden floorboards.
Hey, what's this?
Dunno.
Vera steps on the patch he points out, which is different from the rest of the floor. The boards move. She bends and lifts the section, which is a trapdoor.
Oh, it was a hand.
Oh. What is it?
She recoils from the smell.
A mouse hole.
You think this was them?
Hang on.
She clambers into the hole and reaches down into it. She brings out old insulin vials.
Yeah. It's them.
Joe takes them and paces.
You think they actually lived down there?
I think maybe they did. Some of the time she was always on at him to hide.
Mad.
Oh, scared to death.
What, scared of what?
Shiny man.
Hey, Vera.
I thought I'd be all right in a minute. No, it's off.
She clutches her chest.
You want some water?
No, I just need to get my breath back.
You're not having a heart attack, are you?
No.
Has this happened before?
She nods.
It was at the hospital when I went in to see the lad.
What did he say?
Who?
The doctor. You didn't tell him, did you? I can't believe you didn't tell him. You were in the hospital and you didn't tell him.
Hey, come on. Give us that handle. Oh.
You go to the doctor if I have to drag you there myself, all right?
All right, all right. I'll just see this case through.
Kenny enters.
What?
I've got a witness for you.
In a pub, a woman studies Margaret's photo.
Margaret. She had more to do with my late husband.
Not like that. Just helpless. You know, looking for handouts. Boys like all that, don't they, love?
Ever give her any money?
She worked for us over the summer. 6 weeks or thereabouts. Washing up in the back.
Cash in hand.
Ian dealt with all that.
Well, no, from the inland revenue.
Well, Ian wanted her out the front, as a matter of fact. With the customers. Shame to hide a face like that, says he. She was happy in the back.
Of course. Out of sight.
Sorry?
Ever see anyone with her?
Soft and head he was.
He knew Margaret.
Aye. Nuts about her. Like a man possessed.
Vera showed her Bobby's photo.
We were wondering what you knew about this bag.
Mr. Singh studies the photo of it.
One of Margaret's. I helped her carry her luggage into the car.
And do you know what was in it?
Cash, I believe.
Did you give it to her?
You think I have that sort of money?
What sort of money?
I will tell you this. She was going to Spain. Her health was bad. More than this, I do not wish to know. Now she is dead, you put her in a box. You talk like she is a thief, some sort of good for nothing. But I knew Margaret. She was a very lost young woman. And I was trying to help her. Funny, isn't it? Me, an old fellow like me.
In an interview room.
So you reckon you and Margaret Wilde go back a couple of months?
Yeah.
Come on, you were chasing her around Derby and that was 3 years ago. So I'll ask you again, when did you first meet?
3 years, three and a bit.
Do we believe this?
It's true.
Pathologist found fractured ribs, a couple of years old, maybe more. It was you, was it, she was running from all these years, running scared?
She came looking for me.
Ever hit your wife?
What sort of a question is that? If you've seen it, you won't have me in the house with my own kids.
How long you been in that caravan?
A couple of years.
Airline confirms that you were on the same flight to Spain. You, Margaret, and the boy.
Okay. Okay.
She was using you, of course. Come on, you weren't a lover. You were a stray dog, a hole in the wall, flights to Spain, £2,000 in cash.
£2,000? You've got to be joking. I'm skint enough as it is.
Margaret, don't you, didn't she?
Rubbish.
I know and blame her. All these years, town to town, your ugly mug at her heels. And when she finally got up the courage to say no, no more.
No, she wasn't like that.
You followed her to the airport, you drove her off the road, and you killed her.
I didn't.
Petrol receipt puts you right on the map. 5 minutes from where she died.
I was waiting for her at the airport.
Oh, pardon me while I'm reading the song.
Don't you get it? She told me the same day I bought the tickets. Adam, her lad, he's my son.
Vera's eyes narrow and she blinks.
You think you just made it up about being the boy's dad, make us drop the charges?
I don't see why. I mean, this was his chance, wasn't it? Brand new family. Anyway, the DNA test will tell us.
So, did we charge him?
If you hear back, call me.
Where are you going?
Loose end.
Vera speeds along a winding country road. Vera stands in dull daylight at the front door of a large, elegant stone house.
Anybody home?
I'm sorry, pet. Is there anyone home?
Sorry.
Ian, Scoot, Hankers.
Aidan Carmichael?
Yes.
Inside.
Moving house?
Oh, no. No, it's my job. I sell old books.
Oh, in a shop?
No, online.
Oh.
You should see the state of the garage.
Interesting.
Well, I trained as a lawyer, but I make my own hours at least. It means I can pull my weight at home.
What is that?
It's a bassoon. It's her choice, not ours. We try not to take it personally.
Vera sips the beer he's poured her and looks about the room, which is full of piles of books.
Look, can I help you with something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if your wife mentioned I spoke to her.
No.
She's so busy. No, I'm trying to find out about this woman. Sorry, I'll forget my own head today, I tell you.
She produces Margaret's rolled-up photo and smooths it out before handing it to him.
What happened to her?
She passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You never met her?
No. No.
Cleaner, or been on the side?
I think I'd remember.
He hands the photo back. She stuffs it in her pocket and stares down pensively.
OK, daft question. Peacocks. You've never had any here, you know, as, I don't know, pets?
Peacocks? No.
Sorry, I'm blethering on.
That's quite all right.
I think I've taken up enough of your valuable time.
Oh, Tia.
Say again?
Tia, Patricia, my wife. I don't know why I call her that.
Oh.
They head out to greet Patricia.
Oh, hello again.
Ooh. Vera drinks, then hands Aidan her glass.
Well, thanks for the beer.
Hope you're safe to drive.
Oh, I just wondered if you'd had any luck.
Patricia frowns.
Margaret Wilde?
Oh, drew a blank, I'm afraid. Next time, call ahead, would you mind?
Yeah, of course.
Vera walks past an old MG and Patricia's 4x4.
He gets the lady car, does he?
It depends.
I'll swap you if you like.
They stand looking awkward on their doorstep.
Have a good evening.
Vera heads off down the drive, which is bordered by lawns and trees. She slaps the wheel decisively. At the foster home, Vera shows Adam a newspaper photo of Patricia.
This woman, you remember? Who your mum knew? When you saw her on the telly, what did you say her name was?
Tia.
Are you sure?
That's what Mum said. She saw a photo of her in the magazine and said, that's our friend in high places. That's Tia.
Tell me I'm mad. Tell me if you think I'm mad.
I'll stick the kettle on then, shall I?
In Vera's office.
Oh, Monday evening, the night of Margaret's murder, Patricia Carmichael leaves court 7:30. Now, the following morning, bright and early, here she comes. Right.
Different car.
Correct. This gas guzzler, hers. The other car, the night before.
Her husband's.
Nope. Drives a Ponzi sports car. So the first car, the hatchback, I checked with traffic. It's a rental. There's a 24-hour Hertz around the back of the station. She hired it for one day. So, she leaves at 7:30, 10-minute drive from the court. What time does she drop off the rental? 6 o'clock the following morning.
So what?
31 miles on the clock, overnight. Just enough to get her out to the airport and back, and not enough to get her home.
So
she was out all night. Had to be. She never said so.
She's got a lot on her plate.
So where was she?
Work do.
No, nothing in the diary, I saw.
Girls' night out, boyfriend.
What, all night? And what you doing in a rental? Find out! Get that hatchback over to forensics.
So we charge the Salter then, or what?
No, I've let him go.
You what? Why?
Well, Salter's car near the airport. Not enough. Forensics. Read. The other car at the crime scene, the killer's car. It's not Salter's, wrong tire track.
And what about the paternity claim?
Oh, I'm still waiting. Lab slow to paralytic as usual.
You asked, so I'm telling you. Do I think you're mad? Yeah, I do.
All of this for a car? She's a high court judge. Why would she?
Tia.
What?
The husband called her Tia. Now, how would the lad know that if the mother had never met her? She knew that woman.
That boy is all over the place. He doesn't know what he's seen. Plus, she's in the middle of a trial. You know, maybe she forgot. Or maybe she wanted rid of you.
Yeah, well, not good enough. Now, I want you to go down to the court, turn every trial, every case, whether she was serving as Crown Judge or even before that, Circuit Judge, Barrister, defendants, witnesses, jurors. Make as much noise as you like. Margaret Wilde is in there somewhere now. You find her.
No.
Vera stops stomping away and turns to him. Joe approaches her.
Listen, I'm just saying that you know that you're not feeling yourself right now.
Don't you dare patronise me.
So give me a reason. Go on, give me a reason. I'm sure you've got some sort of hypothesis.
She blinks as she pauses and considers.
Follow the money. $2,000 cash. Where from?
Stolen.
Well, if it was, why didn't the killer grab it before leaving the scene? No, she was given that money. By whom? Singh? Salter? They skinned the pair of them, so where did it come from?
It's blackmail now, is it? Extortion?
No, what if somewhere down the line the judge did something, buried something?
You're saying she took a bribe?
No, I'm not saying that, but what if Margaret found out?
Oh, this is you all over.
No, I'm not nursing some grudge out to get her. I'm not. I liked her. I like her. I just think she lied to me, and I would humbly like to know why. So will you please do as you're told and go down to the court so I can strike her off my list? If you're not too busy, love.
Joe stands hands in pockets, staring at her, then strides off huffily. In the foster home, Adam sits on the stairs, listening in to a conversation.
I mean to see Adam. That's not going to be possible. It is going to be possible. Just go and get it. Tell him Bobby's here.
Calm down.
He's here.
Calm yourself down.
Adam!
The best thing I can do is walk away.
Just give me 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Just to talk to him. 2 minutes.
You're not talking to anybody.
I am. Tell him Bobby's here. Bobby's here. Adam!
Adam runs away.
I just want to talk to him. 2 minutes.
Before we hear summing up, I need to remind all members of the jury that the charge is simple enough. And while we've heard plenty of noises off, your task, callous as it may sound, is to dismiss from your minds anything not pertaining to the charge.
Joe is brought archives.
This one's all gone, Michael.
The clerk puts a box of files down and goes. Joe looks through another box of files. Adam races through woodland beside the sea.
Your task is simply to test the facts. As to these other matters, any questions you have regarding provocation or...
She sees Vera staring down at her from the gallery.
Responsibility. Let me be the judge.
Patricia looks unnerved. Adam runs along a path bordered by bushes.
Adam!
Mr. Singh is halfway up a flight of stone steps. Adam runs down to hug him.
What's this? Have you come to see me?
I've run away.
Someone watches.
You want to live here with me?
Singh's been shot.
Mr. Singh?
Hide! Hide!
Adam runs up towards the block of council flats, leaving Singh crumpled on the steps. The masked figure wearing a hoodie and balaclava chases up the steps and pauses by Singh. Adam runs along the outside walkway to his flat, scrabbles to get the key in the lock, and enters. The dark figure of the attacker looms behind the patterned glass in the window of the flat door. The figure enters. The figure, wearing black shoes, walks into a room and stops. A tiny toy car is on the floor. The beside Mr. Singh, Vera leans over Singh and pulls up his arm slightly to look at the friendship bracelet.
Billy?
5 minutes away.
In Margaret's flat.
So, Adam was last seen at the foster home when?
10 to 2. He's seen back on the estate 40 minutes later.
Right, and the shooter?
Man in a balaclava.
What, that's it?
Well, round here, you know what they're like.
Don't. These are decent people.
A forensics officer's there.
The old trial papers.
No, nothing yet.
Forensics came back to us about Patricia Carmichael's rental car.
They're on the walkway.
Prints?
Nah, nothing.
And as for the tyres, they're wrong make and match for the tracks at the murder scene. Oh. It was a different car.
I've been chasing my own shadow, haven't I?
She sees Joe look up and follows his gaze.
Adam!
She shouts towards the upper stories.
Worth a shot?
In the flat.
Half the force is out there looking for him.
Yeah, well, what about the other half?
Huh?
Outside the flats near the bins, Joe and Holly watch Vera as she counts money. Forensics officers are nearby.
And this was in Singh's rubbish. They're certain.
Seemed to be. Threw it out by mistake, do you think?
Well, get it over to the lab. Check the prints. Margaret Wilde, Bobby Salter.
Who chucks 100 quid?
Well, maybe it was dirty somehow, tainted. Oh, why didn't he tell us?
I don't know. The way he spoke about her when I went to see him, like he didn't want us raking over a reputation. Do you think if I just pushed harder?
A bit late for that now, isn't it, pet? What?
She turns to Holly and Joe.
Find Bobby Salter. You were kicking off outside the foster home, and I'm not even going to ask how you found the place.
I followed him, didn't I? He's my son. I want to get to know him.
Yeah, about that, Kenny.
Here we go.
DNA came back negative. He's not yours. Margaret must have been pulling your leg, love, or else you've been pulling ours.
Joe's with Bobby's wife, Renner, outside their house where the daughters are playing.
You shouldn't wish anyone dead, Bob. I wasn't sorry when I heard.
But Margaret?
I shouldn't have seen that, should I?
She glances over her shoulder at the three girls.
It's like Bobby, he starts going on about how this lad's his son. Adam. It's like some new obsession with him.
Did he say where he was going today?
The thing about Bobby is, once his mind's made up, he was up to something.
The girls are playing hopscotch.
And after the foster home?
I went for a ride up the coast.
Talk to anyone? Witnesses? No, I thought not. We know all about you and guns, Mr. Salter. Your conviction. 18 months for weapons possession.
I was keeping it for a friend.
Where is he? Where's the lad?
In the incident room.
So if he's not on the estate, where is he? I mean, we all know he's got no sense of direction, right? I mean, if he hasn't been abducted, I mean, what sort of thing do kids like? I mean, where might he have gone?
Well, his mum never took him out.
Prints on the 100 quid.
No, there's nothing yet.
Okay, so, what were you all waiting for?
Everybody scatters to their desks, leaving Vera sitting. Joe sees her lean forward and wince slightly.
I seem to spend my life searching for patterns. What if there isn't one?
Do you want me to head back over to court?
Keep looking for Margaret Wilde and Carmichael's trial records.
Yeah, if you like.
Or maybe there's something useful hidden up there, eh?
Yeah.
Vera lowers her eyes and considers. She looks up as something occurs to her.
He's not lost.
She stares at his photo on the incident board.
He's hiding.
Dusk. Fluffy grey clouds hang over a calm sea which stretches out before the flats. Vera's alone in Margaret's flat. She stamps on floorboards. She enters the living room and draws a hand back through her hair as she scans about.
I give up.
Okay.
She looks behind a chair.
in love.
She feels a central heating radiator.
Freezing.
Vera leans back against a wall and looks up towards the ceiling as she ponders. She straightens and looks over at an air vent high up on a wall. A chair is beneath the vent, which has a grill over it. Vera walks slowly over to the chair, climbs on it, and stares up at the vent.
Adam?
His face appears.
Oh, there you are, pet. You frightened me half to death.
Sorry.
Let me see if I can get this one.
She lifts the grill up.
Hey, come on, pet. Come on, don't be frightened.
Vera's Land Rover travels on a coast road. Back at her house, Adam plays with a toy car and pushes it along the top of the kitchen table. Vera serves him a bowl of food. She sits at the kitchen table with him and rests her head on her hand wearily.
And you never got a look at him, The fella with the gun.
He shakes his head.
What did you run away for anyway? They were trying to look after you.
Mum hated them places. She said no way was I ever going to stay, Mum.
Vera's eyes freeze in thought, then she gets up and goes out to her wheelie bin as she makes a call on her mobile. She lifts the bin lid.
Oh, something Adam said. I wonder if his mother was brought up in care. Aye, a children's home. Well, check again. There we go. No, not you.
She gets out the stuffed kestrel in a bag, studying the bird.
What you think of our little friend?
What is he?
Vera strokes it.
She's a kestrel.
Adam strokes the bird.
You like birds?
They're okay. I like owls better.
That was me dad's. Dead and alive.
Tony, I can see they pray for 600 miles.
600 metres, maybe.
600 miles. Mum got it off the internet.
Oh, right. My mistake.
Adam strokes the kestrel again.
She taught me all sorts, Mum did.
Yeah, I bet she did. She looked after you, didn't she, in her own way?
Adam looks down, then stares sadly at the kestrel. Night, in a children's home office, Holly closes a file and picks up her notebook, in which names and addresses are listed. She puts a line through the name Mrs. Dora Fillmore.
Sorry to have waited your evening.
I hope you find her.
You and me both.
As Holly puts on her coat, she spots framed photographs on the office wall. She peers at a group photo of teenagers. Their names are written beneath.
There she is. That's her.
Holly compares the framed image with the one she has of Margaret.
That's Margaret Wilde, isn't it? But that says Carla.
Margaret or Carla smiles out from the photo.
What's going on?
Your phone was switched off.
Joe and Holly enter with boxes of files.
Adam?
No, he's fine. It's about Margaret Wilde.
Hey?
It's not her name. Her name was Carla Davis.
They check files.
I should have thought. No data, no credit history. I mean, nobody just vanishes. It's not possible.
But how can she change a name just like that?
Scan the new details into her birth certificate. Carla Davis.
Becomes Margaret Wilde.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Clever girl.
A bit too clever, don't you think?
Here we go. Carla Davis. Surrendered by natural father, 3rd of September, 1990.
Look at this little lot. Carla's NHS records. Admitted to North Tyneside A&E, fractured ribs, collarbone, June 91, and again, 90? April 92. 90? Fractured wrist, November 92. Someone was knocking her about.
Studying the group photo.
Now, which one of you little did that? Did you get anything off the PNC database?
Kenny's emailing through, hang on. Here we go. Carla Davis. Charged with GBH, July 2003.
Prison sentence?
No, not listed.
Victim?
Danny Hale, 64 Rutherway, Tyneside.
I wonder if this is him here. Danny?
She taps the image of a boy on the photo. The name Danny is beneath the image. Uniformed police wearing visors climb stairs in a grim block of flats. Vera and Joe follow them. A uniformed cop batters a door with an enforcer. Vera searches belongings in Danny's living room. Joe enters and they scan about.
No photos.
Lives alone.
She goes through papers on a coffee table. Vera spies an open cardboard box. In it is a pile of crudely made flyers with Carla's photo on them. Missing is hand-printed above the photo. Below, it reads, "My friend is missing. If you've seen her, call." The number is obscured by Vera's hand.
Joe?
Vera flicks through some of the many flyers. They throw the flyers on the floor as they search through them.
Shall I call the number?
She's found a payslip.
Let's pay him a little visit at work.
Slicing ham on a machine.
Sam!
Danny, slicing the ham in a cafe kitchen and calling out, stands facing a kitchen wall.
Sam!
He walks through into the empty cafe, lifts the counter and walks across the room. He goes out into a street of shops with shutters on their windows. The street has been cordoned off at either end. Armed police surround Danny. His face is badly scarred down one side. Vera looks at him through binoculars.
Shiny man. Well, forensics made short work of you, Mr. Hale. We found the gun in the loft. You're going down for the murder of Margaret Wilde, Carla Davis, as was, and Amrit Singh. What do you murder the old neighbour for? Come on, don't be shy. Get in the way, did he, Mr. Singh?
It's the kid I was after. He was with his mum.
What, when you broke her skull? Well, that makes sense. Now, let's see if I've got my facts straight. Carla Davis arrives at the Marchman Children's Home. Too young, too pretty. Aye, and you were a big lad. Had a bit of fun with her. Don't tell me how. I haven't got the stomach for it, not today. And you got a bit careless, did you? Broke a couple of her ribs. And she grassed on you.
Danny stares at her blankly.
Let's have a little look.
She opens a file.
Transfer to the Blythe Young Offenders Institute. Ah, and you couldn't forgive her, could you? The little girl who got you transferred. So, a few years later, you came looking for her.
It was just a bit of a laugh. I seen her out with a pram. I followed her up the street a couple of times.
Threatened her lad?
I was just kidding.
And look what she did to your pretty face. Drain on blocker. Right? Suits you, in a way. Now you even look like the big bad wolf.
She smiles sweetly.
So Carla's up on a GBH charge. Look out, she's only jumped bail. Disappeared, police have stopped their search. But not you, Mr. Hale. Not you.
If you people had done your job.
She showed him a flyer.
Well, I hope we've made up for it now, sir.
She gives him another sweet smile, gathers her papers and goes. At the Salters, one of the girls is drawing at the kitchen table. Renner starts to clear the table. Bobby enters.
You know the rules, get out.
Breathing heavily, Bobby stands his ground.
Get out.
He's tearful.
Will you please just let me sit at my own table?
He raises his eyebrows in a pleading expression. The little girl looks to Renna, who has tears rolling down her cheeks, as she stares back at Bobby.
I'll fetch a plate then. You can do that at least.
Bobby bites back tears. He gets a plate from a dish rack and sits down opposite his little girl at the table. She smiles at him. Bobby smiles back, still fighting tears. In the incident room...
Who's thirsty?
Oh, I'll have one.
Oh. Vera chucks cans of beer to the team. Holly, who drops hers, opens it. Beer gushes out. Kenny grabs the can and slurps off the froth.
Jesus. Oh. There you go, princess.
I'm not drinking that now. Joe?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Suit yourself, spoil sport.
He stares at the incident board.
New name, new life.
Oh, it's not easy. Especially for someone like Connor Davies.
She sips from her can. Joe looks pensive. A cleaner passes carrying bags marked confidential waste only.
Connor Davies.
Joe sees the cleaner leaving the room and rushes after her.
Joe?
Is she out of hell? Wait, no! Excuse me! I'm sorry, I need to take this.
The bags of confidential waste. Joe empties one out in the office.
Copies of Patricia Carmichael's trial records going back 15 years.
Well, I'll put the kettle on.
It's somewhere in here, I know it is.
All the team take handfuls of documents and sort through them intently. Vera kneels down by the huge pile of paperwork and leafs through some of it. Kenny leafs rapidly through documents. People take more handfuls from the pile. Another bin bag is emptied out onto the incident room floor. Joe, sitting at a desk, licks his fingers to assist him in leafing through documents. Holly, sitting on a chair with a pile of papers on her lap, stops at one document.
I've got it! Crown versus Carla Davies!
She hands it to Vera.
Crown versus Carla Davies. Defence Counsel Patricia Carmichael, QC. Holly, check Danny Hale's phone records. All recent calls. Joe, Adam, phone up at the house as soon as you can.
Vera grabs her coat and documents. Vera pulls up at the Carmichaels where Patricia stands staring out of the window gravely.
Love, upstairs.
Sorcha closes her laptop and leaves. Vera gets out of her Land Rover.
You were Carla's barrister for the assault charge. This was what? 3 years before you made judge?
Yes.
But you took pity on her?
I'd never met anyone so afraid.
Of losing a child?
Yes. GBH, mandatory prison sentence. She would have lost it. Lost Adam? He would have gone into a home like she did. Couldn't see the justice in it.
So you made a judgment to help her? Hmm? Wipe the fingerprints from the records, new start, new name, Margaret Wilde. You put your entire career at risk. That's amazing.
It was Carla's idea. She didn't know what else to do. It was simply a case of scanning in a new name.
Hmm. Yeah, here they are. Birth certificates, Margaret Wilde. Carla Davies, same birthday, same woman. Only, you see, according to the records, Margaret only had one little boy. But Carla, now she had two kids, Adam and an older sister, Natasha. Now, whatever happened to her?
She died at birth, didn't she?
Aiden.
No, that's what Adam said as well. But he was only small at the time, and the facts are quite clear. The daughter was 6 years old when the mother was arrested.
Vera shows a document to Patricia, who goes over to the window when she hears a car door slam. She sees Joe get out of his car with Adam. Patricia turns away and stares ahead glumly. Joe enters the hallway, but Adam hangs back.
Come on.
Adam steps in gingerly.
You okay?
Yeah.
Adam looks about him.
Just wait here a sec, mate, yeah?
Adam nods.
Kenny?
Yeah, we just got here.
Joe goes outside. Adam sees a flight of stairs through an open door. He checks over his shoulder to see where Joe is, then makes for the stairs. Adam climbs the stairs, stands at the end of a passage and stares down it.
You took the children in, didn't you? Police are out looking for a woman with kids. Easier for her to vanish on her own. You kept the children here, out of sight, until the police called off the search. And then what? Back comes Mam to take her children back.
We were just trying to be kind, weren't we?
What happened to the little girl?
Joe comes back inside.
Adam? Adam?
Adam's walking down the shadowy passage.
Adam? Adam? Adam, where are you?
Adam walks to a large lighted lamp on a table at the end of the passage and reaches out for a bolt on a door behind it. Adam pulls the bolt back. Joe climbs the stairs and looks down the passage. The door at the end closes.
What's going on?
Joe?
Aidan, Vera and Patricia race upstairs. Adam climbs stairs up into an attic area. He walks slowly along a narrow passage and looks about him. He stops and looks to his left. The adults head up to the attic.
Adam? Adam?
Vera and the others find him in a room off the passage. He's standing beside a bedstead, staring towards a fireplace which has a large peacock on the wallpaper above it.
This is it. What you remember. The peacocks.
Dark marks on the wallpaper.
And the blood.
Yes.
The blood marks are near the skirting board. Sorcha creeps upstairs and listens in.
Adam, did your mum have a fight in here? In this room?
Adam nods.
Who with?
Vera points to Aidan.
Was it this man?
No. With a girl.
Adam continues staring at the peacock.
Your sister?
Patricia and Aidan stand tensely. Sorcha climbs more stairs and stops at the top.
They were happy here, the two of them.
It's the first time in their lives they had love, stability. But when she came back to get them...
Ah, they didn't want to go. No. But Adam here, 3 years old, do as he's told. But his sister, mind of her own.
Aidan nods.
She didn't want to go. She ran away. She locked herself in up here.
Come on, Tommy. Come on. Let go. Come with Mammy. Look, Tommy recognises.
You do as you're told. You listen to me. I'm your Mammy and you let go of this now! Come on! Listen to me! Let go! Come on! Let go now! Let go!
Carla tries to drag her daughter away from the mantelpiece she's clinging onto. The girl falls. Her head lies on tiles in a pool of blood. Young Adam's watching. In the present...
Carla, she didn't mean to do it. She must have been hurt, I suppose, after all that had happened and...
And?
She took the boy. She took Adam.
And his sister?
I buried her. Out in the woods.
Hearing the footsteps and the door, Vera rushes out and down the stairs. Patricia follows her.
Hi.
Vera marches into Sorcha's room.
No, please. Wait.
Forgive me, pets.
What is she doing?
Mum! Mum!
Vera's drawn back Sorcha's hair to reveal a scar on her forehead.
Come on. Hope you come. There's someone I'd like you to meet.
In the sitting room, Aidan wrings his hands.
They had a fight. That poor little girl, she cracked her head so badly. So much blood, you wouldn't believe. She was out like a stone, but I could feel her heart beating, and I just thought Sorcha's not safe with this woman. Nobody is.
And it just came out. Please let me. Oh, for God's sake, you know it was me.
I said she's dead. You killed her.
Not you? Or
me. All me.
Yes.
Thank you. Now please go and be with our daughter.
Vera nods permission to him. Aidan goes.
And you let Margaret leave that night thinking she'd killed her own daughter. Have you any idea? 8 years out of her mind. They hid in a hole. Do you know that? Every place they stayed, under the floor, under the pipes. And then she called, didn't she? Needing money.
She was going to Spain, she said.
Yeah, when was this?
A week before she died. £2,000, wasn't much.
And she sent the neighbour, did she, to collect the money?
Yes.
And you hired the hatchback to make sure you couldn't be identified.
He cared for her.
Oh.
I could see that. I just wanted to give him something. 100 quid.
When he saw this, did he?
The family photo.
I remember, I noticed it myself.
He said, what a pretty daughter you have, how old is she? And I thought, if he tells her... I don't think he knew what it meant, us with a daughter, but... if Carla found out, I couldn't take that risk.
And then you picked up the phone, you called Danny Hale, and you tipped him off.
Yes.
And you must have known that he was going to kill her.
Danny batters in Carla's car window with a baseball bat, then smashes her with it. Blurred images of him dragging her away, her face bloody.
You know I can't answer that. Look, I made one phone call. How was I to know that it was all...
Patricia falters under Vera's sharp gaze.
What about your husband?
He was completely in the dark.
Adams with Sorcha.
Look at them. That little girl woke up after her accident. She said, where's Mum? And I said, she's gone. But she agrees, we all agree, you're going to live with us now. She never questioned it. She knew at 6 years old it was the right thing to do.
And you?
Patricia holds Vera's gaze, then walks aside.
I never knew I wanted a child until I had one.
Patricia sits down by the sitting room window.
He brought her back to life.
She looks out at Aidan.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to take that away from her. Can you?
Vera stares down at her stonily.
He knows nothing about Hale. What I did that night.
Aidan is with the children.
It's not my job to make people happy, Pet.
Vera walks out of the room, leaving Patricia staring down. Patricia hugs Sorcha, who's weeping and clinging onto her. Patricia nuzzles Sorcha's head and kisses her hair. Vera watches through the open front door. A police car waits outside in the night. Day, in the incident room, Vera, holding a certificate and a medal, poses for a photo with Adam. She stands apart from him.
Pity's sake. Come on, hero. Act like you know the lad. You've just won a medal for saving his life.
Will you hold that one, then, Adam?
She gives him the medal and puts an arm around him as the team applaud. Sorcha's there, watching.
Are you all right there, Adam?
Mm. Not too bad.
Yes, everything's all right where you're staying. Is it because if it's not...
No, it's fine. It's great.
That's good.
And you've got your sister now, haven't you? Hmm? She'll take care of you. Oh, I've got something for you.
The kestrel on its perch.
Thanks. Here, that's a box. Come on.
Vera glances at Sorcha.
So. All right.
She's put the kestrel in the box.
Say, come on. Well, bye-bye then, Adam.
He smiles wistfully.
Bye.
Adam carries his box and Sorcha guides him away, throwing an icy look back at Vera as they leave. Outside, a smiling Aidan gets out of the 4x4 to greet them. Joe and Vera watch from reception.
Do you think she worked it out, Margaret? Carla, I mean. Do you think she realised that her daughter was still alive after all?
Yeah, I do. The car was pointing the other way. You remember? Hmm. I think she was going back to get her daughter when she was murdered.
I meant to say the 100 quid that Singh threw out with the rubbish. They came back with a positive set of prints on the cash.
Patricia Carmichael.
Joe shakes his head.
Not Aidan, no.
I'm afraid so. It was just by chance we even had his prints in the system. He's arrested at a student demo about 20 years ago.
Vera holds a hand to her head.
Look, maybe he just loaned his wife the money. He didn't know what she was going to use it for.
Yeah, maybe.
So do I put it in the report? You realise that if it does go in, there's a case for complicity. You'll never see those kids again.
Oh, she was so scared of Adam going into her home. Do you think perhaps she'd be happier knowing the lad had someone to take care of him?
Joe stares down and nods vaguely.
You know, the prints on the cash, they were pretty corrupted.
Vera smiles and watches Aidan drive off with the kids. She falters.
Joe, I don't suppose you'd... Are you busy?
In the hospital... Joe's waiting with Vera.
Vera's coming.
Vera stiffens in her seat.
Go on. It's not the firing squad, you know. You want me to come with you?
Oh, shush. What's that?
She passes him her medal and gets up resignedly from her seat. Joe eyes the medal and sighs. Vera, her hands in her coat pockets, stops at a doorway and looks back at Joe, who's watching her. They exchange faint, fond smiles, and Vera heads into the room. ITFC audio description by Helen Vasey.